This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Show powered by Chevron on this Football Friday, presented by the one and only Big City Roadhouse. Joining me now, Ethan Bird of KGWN-TV, our Wyoming Cowboys insider. And Ethan, my friend, the Cowboys got it done. You know, kind of thought they would. I didn't see it going that way, but that was a big win, a much needed win for Jay Sovell.
Oh, yeah. It went probably the perfect way for the Cowboys against Colorado State. You shut out your rival, you shut everybody up, and you move on the next week. I mean, you can't write it up any better for the Pokes.
Do you think offensively that was the kind of game that puts that belief back into this offense, like a guy like Caden Anderson? Now maybe this offense is showing some signs of life because he's been better the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, Caden looked like a different quarterback on Saturday. He looked comfortable in the pocket. He had a couple dimes. Caden looked like last year's New Mexico game where we all went, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this kid could get something going. That's what he looked like. It wasn't just him. I mean, you know, everybody looked comfortable. Everybody but the tight ends. Hopefully we see a little bit more tight end play against San Diego State.
And then in defensively, Wyoming just... They just do what they do. I mean, CSU, they haven't been very good in any phase of the game, honestly, this year. But that was certainly their worst offensive performance. And we know that's that Wyoming defense.
Yeah, no, how special was it to get the shutout with, you know, the twos and the threes in at the end of the game? That was really cool. I think that was probably... one of Jay Sovell's favorite parts of the game, because he talked about it a lot on Monday about how in that final timeout to ensure the shutout, all of the starters were down there coaching the backups. Like, this is what you need to do along with the coaches. And that shutout meant a lot to this team.
Talking to Ethan Bird on the First Advantage Hotline, and now they here it is. I mean, Wyoming, I don't know what's gonna happen this season, but the fact that they won that game, if you look at the Mountain West standings, if you pull off something silly against San Diego State, suddenly you're not probably going all in on the chances of them going to a Mountain West championship game, but suddenly that becomes a talking point if you upset San Diego State this week, and who's one of the top teams in the conference.
Oh, I mean, it's the two top defenses in the conference.
Yes.
It's going to be really, really intriguing to watch. You know, you're not quite talking championship if you beat San Diego State, but you're talking a bowl game better than the Idaho Potato Bowl, right? You're talking, you know, Arizona Bowl. Let's maybe talk about LA Bowl, you know, something like that. But I think this is going to be if you're a fan of defense, if you're a sicko, you're going to like this ball game.
Well, the way I look at it too is if you pull off the upset against San Diego State, then you're at Fresno State, and I mean, I think that weird game against CSU, it was kind of crazy, but I don't know if Fresno State has it. Then you have Nevada, and then you're at Hawaii, which is always difficult, especially this year with Hawaii being a pretty good football team. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that Wyoming could run the table here the rest of the way. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. I don't know if it's likely.
Yeah, I mean, Fresno State's been kind of a weird team this year. You know, we've seen them be great. We've seen them be not so great. It kind of depends on which Fresno State you get next week. But, of course, you got to get through this week. Nevada, I mean, you have to win that. You're retiring Josh Allen's jersey in that game. You can't lose that game. I don't think there's a possibility you lose that one. And then when it comes to Hawaii, it's really hard to bet against Hawaii on the island. They've proven they can win on the road now as well.
Yep.
Timmy Chang's doing a really good job with that team, and they are a different beast on the island.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's making up to at least be an engaging end of the season. A lot of the teams CSU and what we talk about here, Air Force, CU, like those guys, not a lot to look forward to the rest of the way other than maybe trying to sneak into a bowl game or something. But interesting this weekend for the Cowboys. Talk to me about San Diego State, because after they got absolutely smoked by Washington State, and Washington State turned out to be all right, since then, they haven't lost. And that defense, as you mentioned, has been, for the most part, lights out.
No, pretty special. I mean, one of the shutouts against Stony Brook, but you shut out anybody, that's pretty cool. You have three shutouts on the year, especially against a Fresno State team that can score. And Cal, I mean, that's a heck of a defense. Like Cody Tucker said this, I'm sure he said it when he, I don't know if you had him on this week.
Yeah, sure.
But San Diego State is the team that Craig Bohl dreamed of, right? You got your offense that's just good enough, efficient, they can control the ball, and you've got a lights-out defense. That's what Craig Bohl dreamed of. And it's going to be a real challenge. They're not the best offensive team, but if you let them get in a rhythm, they're going to keep that ball away from you, and they're going to score when they need to. So it's going to be a battle of defenses that I think whoever scores first is going to have the edge.
Ethan Bird talking to us, gearing up for Wyoming and San Diego State. You know, for the Cowboys last week and that win 28-0 over CSU. I mean, they were able to run the ball really well. And for the most part, this team has good running backs, but it was nice to see Sam Scott get in the end zone on that long touchdown run.
Oh, yeah. He's a great kid. I mean, it's any guy's day, really, right now in this running back room. Obviously, Sam Harris is the number one guy. Teron Kelman can hit a home run. And Sam Scott's your workhorse. Sam Scott, but he can also hit home runs, and he can catch the ball pretty well. They could all catch the ball pretty well. I think they're gonna be the X factor. You've got to get Caden's gonna have to be really smart. Caden Anderson is gonna have to be really smart in this game because San Diego State, they're good on all three levels. They're gonna pick you off. Linebackers, cornerbacks, safeties, all of them can pick you off. So those kind of younger sophomore mistakes that we've seen this season, they cannot happen. But I've got a lot of confidence in this running back room in this game.
Ethan, talk to me about Javon Bonite and him coming in as the play caller last week and making that transition. Mm-hmm. It went really south for CSU, but it went the complete opposite way for Wyoming. How much of an impact was just making that change on the Cowboys last week and going forward?
Well, I mean, what I said last week and what I was happy to see is there was a lot less substitutions. Chris Durr was on the field a lot more. He got a lot of targets, and he made an impact from the jump, right? The first play went to Chris Durr. It was a flat. He made the guy miss. He got 10-plus yards, and then he has that touchdown at the end of the second quarter. The substitutions were great. I think it's really important also that Bonite, he's on the field, right? He's there. He can look in Caden's eyes or anybody on the offense's eyes and go, hey, you need to do this better, or you did this great. Let's keep doing that. I think Javon gave them a great spark last week. But now, I mean, things could change, right? You know, winning cures all, but we've got to see it against a great defense.
I'll tell you what, man, if they could put together a game plan this weekend, do you just sign him up to be the OC next year right on the spot?
No, I would imagine he's already got it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what they told him from the jump, and the guys just love him. There's nothing but respect for Javon Bonite from every position on the offense and the defense. I mean, he's a Wyoming legend, and I think he's shown that he's a great coach too.
Ethan, you mentioned at the start of the segment, you talked about tight ends. John Michael Gillenborg, what's the status there?
Who knows?
Frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been last week that they saw they were able to expose CU in the wide receiver core, so they kind of kept some of Javon's tight end plays in the back pocket for San Diego State. But it was weird. But I mean, one thing that I did like is J. Mike did a lot better at blocking against CSU.
Yeah.
You know, he that's one of the parts where we haven't really seen him excel, and he did last week. But to beat San Diego State, he's going to have to be active.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we were talking. I was too. I mean, I'm like, this guy's going to be playing on Sundays. Who knows? Maybe even a third round draft pick. I mean, I was kind of going all in on it. Cody even mentioned like the Trey McBride kind of thing, and I know Rams fans heard that and flipped their lid. But I was kind of right there with him. But injuries and just kind of lack of production, we haven't seen his stock go up. It's certainly decreased, at least at this point.
Yeah, and it kind of stinks because J. Mike, he's a great dude. We love talking to him, and he works hard. Like, this isn't like when he was out. You know, I saw people on Twitter going, "Oh, he's just pulling the injury card because they're losing three straight games." He blah 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 blah. That, he's a competitor, and it was killing him not to be on the field, and I'm sure it was killing him against Colorado State not to have a catch, because I'm sure he would have loved to score or blow somebody up. You know, he's got to get something done, and it's also on Coach Bo Knight and Caden to get him involved. And we're going to have to see through the rest of the season if he can improve that stock, because if he's healthy, I think he is. You know, he could have a shot, maybe not to get drafted, but at least get signed by an NFL team. And he's got four games to prove it.
Ethan, I ask you every week, the Cowboys are 10.5-point dogs on this one. Do they cover? Do they do something better? Where are we going here?
I think your lock is the under. 41.5 is kind of crazy.
Yeah, maybe take that under.
I don't see a reality where a team scores 41.5 points in this game. It's two great defenses. I mean, obviously, you know, things get weird. It could end up like New Mexico, Wyoming last year, where it's a shootout. You can never trust anything in college football. But I like a cover here, a 10.5 cover. I think it will be a competitive football game.
It'd be like a 17-10 type of game, something like that.
Yeah, 17-13.
Yeah.
6-3. We've already seen San Diego State do that against NIU. I mean, what would be really cool is we finally see Eric Samvick have his hero moment and kick off a game-winning field goal. But it's more than likely going to be that type of game.
Well, we'll see. And if you know what, if you can hang close, then I think that bodes well for the rest of the way for the Cowboys, certainly at least getting, at the very minimal, getting into a bowl game.
Oh, yeah. There is a very, very good likelihood that Wyoming wins two of the next four games. It's going to be hard. You know, you've got to win on the road, which they haven't been good at the past 2 years, but Nevada's a win. You just got to win one of the other ones.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ethan, my man, appreciate you as always. The Cowboys are still keeping our interest, though, and that's huge at this point in the season. Here we are on Halloween. Happy Halloween to you, by the way.
Oh, shoot. It's Halloween, isn't it?
It's Halloween, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it, I guess.
This is what football season does to me, right? I've got no idea what day it is. I'm just happy I don't have to work on a Saturday tomorrow.
Well, the fact that you've got this Wyoming team, that we're talking about them, at least with still a lot in front of them, with November right around the corner, I think is it's a big step up for Wyoming. Suddenly, it changes so quickly when you talk about them.
Much more enjoyable to cover than last year. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is much improved. We finally saw a click this week. That's a great sign, and the rest of the season is bright. That's what I'll say.
All right, my man. Always appreciate the insight, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
All right, appreciate you, brother. Let's have some fun next week.
That sounds good to me. Ethan Bird, KGWN-TV. He's expecting a low scoring affair. The over under is 41.5, and yeah, probably going to be probably going to be a low-scoring football game, but if you can keep it close, you give yourself a chance. We'll see. 20 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Coming up, we've got Brian Howell going to join us, and then in the final hour, we'll get to Broncos-Texans full-on preview. I've got my whole show pressure cooker ready to go. Who should be terrified? Which fan base should be terrified of what could happen if their teams lose this weekend? We'll get to all that. Plus the quarterback toilet bowl with the fellas coming up later on in the show. It's the whole show. It's Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
They're creepy and they're kooky. They're serious and spooky. They're all together kooky. The Addams Family.
Let's have a drink. Football 52, the two-man gang. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Do yourself a favor. Stop by Big City Roadhouse for lunch today. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. Another great sponsor of the show, Diamond Valley Collectibles. We are about to turn the calendar over into November, and there are a lot of people that are like my wife that do their Christmas shopping, get all that stuff. Just get it out of the way so it's not hanging over your head. I've got a suggestion for you guys to mark down on that list if you have a sports fan in your life, and that's Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They have Legos, they have Funko Pops, Pokemon. It's a big one. They got it over at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Also, do me a favor. When you stop by, tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. 26 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, Broncos-Texans game. I said it yesterday, and Michael disagreed with me, but I think this is a swing kind of game for Denver. The schedule is, you know, they're 6-2. And you can look at those wins and you can feel whatever type of way you want to about them. But this is a different test. You know, obviously the Colts turned out to be a really good team. You lost in the close one in a late game heroics by the Colts. Same with the Chargers. You took care of the rest of the teams on your schedule. But it is alarming. Benjamin Albright talked to us about, hey, it is alarming the fact that it took 33 points in the fourth quarter against the Giants. As good as it was, as awesome as it was, the fact that it came down to that against this Giants team is kind of a scary thing. But then you handled the Cowboys. Like, we can talk about their defense being bad all we want, but you put up 44 points against an NFL team. That's still a big deal. However, it really does feel like this is that test between Houston, and it's not just the record. Houston is a good football team. I'm not making predictions for them or anything, but I would not be surprised if they're in the playoffs when we get down to it. Maybe they squeeze in. For the Broncos, they could really make a dent in that playoff focus if they can win this one against Houston, because you got to think, man, a couple days later, you go up against the Raiders. There's win number 7 easily. But if you can take the Texans down, you'd be 8-2 going up against the Chiefs. That is just, it's kind of exciting to think about that. But this matchup's tough. DeMeco Ryans, head coach for the Texans, he was in the running for the Broncos job. The Broncos wanted to talk to him. And DeMeco Ryans, I remember when he was asked about it in his opening press conference, as the head coach of the Texans. He said, yeah, I talked to the Broncos, and he said, but it was an easy decision for me. Well, at that time, the Broncos were still like, you know, ownership was just starting to get settled and kind of figured out. We were going through that. But, I mean, a lot of people thought DeMeco Ryans was throwing shade at the Broncos with that. But if you're a head coach and you have options and you start looking around the ownership group, the Broncos were kind of a sketchy job to take when the trust was happening, when we didn't know what was going to happen with the Bolins, and didn't know what was going to happen with this, although this ownership group has looked phenomenal. We didn't know what that was going to look like. So you could see why a potential head coach might look at that and go, I don't know that I want to make that my first job, because I don't know if they'll be able to set me up for success in the right way.
Also, he's more of a Costco guy.
Yeah. Boy, don't know where to go after that. But no, Houston's good. C.J. Stroud, 66% completion percentage, 1,600 yards, 11 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Nico Collins, I believe he is going to play this weekend. He is very good. He's a difference maker for this team. Dalton Schultz is an exceptional tight end. Their offensive line, they had an overhaul in the offseason, and that's been not great. So you do like that matchup between the Broncos' defensive line and the Texans' offensive line. I like that matchup a lot. This is going to come down to how well can Bo Nix play against one of the top secondaries in the NFL and one of the top pass rushing units in the NFL, too, with those edge rushers are very good. This will be a game where I think there's going to be more pressure on Bo Nix, especially with Patrick Surtain out on the other side. If you can get up early in a game like this and set your pass rush up, then maybe you can pull off this dub against the Houston Texans over the weekend.
I feel like Bo Nix is the key, is kind of like every game. The defense is pretty much settled. Yeah, you lost a key player, but Bo Nix hasn't been performing well, except for in a couple of games. He's got to lock it up. He's got to be more consistent. Last game was great. Let's see what happens in this game against a good defense.
Well, they've won games despite, you know, like Bo not having good performances out there. So, I mean, this is, I said it before, if they're going to win a Super Bowl, it's going to feel a lot like that 2015 year. I said at the beginning of the season, Mike, I thought Bo Nix would regress a little bit. Yeah, I think it depends on who you ask, and I think it kind of depends on the day. But if they're establishing the run game and they're getting productive output from their tight ends, I think Bo can be very good. He's not that type of quarterback. Maybe he will be someday, but he's not that type of quarterback that raises all boats. He needs those weapons. And they went out and added a 41-year-old tight end. I don't think he's going to be a weapon, but Sean Payton's ego might step in, Mike. I could really see if Denver gets in the red zone or they get inside the 5, drawing something up for Mercedes Lewis, getting him in the end zone, and he would be the oldest guy to ever have a touchdown reception. How about that? I can see Sean Payton wanting to have that.
Ego, or does anyone expect a 40-plus-year-old to score a touchdown?
No, not even catch a pass. I think he's just there as basically an extended offensive lineman.
I think that's what people are thinking.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I would not be shocked if Sean Payton tries to draw something up and get a little kooky.
I don't think you're the only one. I think a lot of people are thinking that. But the question is, are the Texans thinking that? Or is it more of a local thought?
If you're the Texans, I don't think, all bets are off for what Sean Payton may or may not do. And that will be interesting to see. 12:33 the time, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
You're all I've ever wanted, but I'm terrified of you. Think my castle may be haunted, but I'm terrified of you.
37 minutes after 12 o'clock. Happy Halloween, everybody. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline is Brian Howell, our Buffs insider from Buff Zone. Brian, my man, I kind of thought CU wasn't as bad as maybe that record indicated. You and I talked about this. The BYU game was close. The TCU game was close. They got a backdoor cover there. And then you beat Iowa State. And then you get the bye week, you go to Utah, ouch. Rock bottom for the Buffs at this stage, Brian?
I forgot what happened in Salt Lake City.
I think Coach Prime would like to forget that, too.
Yeah, I mean, last week obviously was rock bottom. I think that this week is huge mentally for the Buffs and how they respond to that, because that was not what we had seen the previous seven games, right?
I mean, right.
They had, as we talked about, I mean, they had beaten Iowa State the game before. I mean, they nearly beat TCU, and probably you could argue should have beat TCU, should have beat BYU the weeks before that. So they've played pretty good football in a lot of games this year, but it just was a disaster last week in Salt Lake City. And so if they can move past that and realize that that's not who we really are, then I think they'll be okay. But sometimes that's a hard one to come back from.
Oh, no question. And a lot of people, and I'll ask too, like the quarterback situation, what that looks like. But, I mean, it's hard for me to go, oh, this is all on Caden Salter. That was a defense that gave up 422 yards on the ground, Brian. I don't care how good Caden, I mean, that was a bad game, no question about it for Caden Salter, but it was rough. It was rough in all phases for the Buffs against Utah.
Yeah, I mean, had Caden played well, then they might have lost 53-25.
Yeah, maybe.
Like that. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time putting it on Caden. I mean, to me, that was a game that they would have gotten blown out if Shadur was the quarterback, in my opinion. I think the offensive line for the first time all year was atrocious. You know, we talked about them being much better this year, and they have been. They were really bad against Utah. And, look, Caden had no time. I mean, he threw 13 incompletions, and according to PFF, seven of them were throwaways just because he's running for his life. And I thought the number was higher than that. I mean, he had no time to get anything done. I don't know how – it's hard for me to put it on him, you know.
Yeah.
He didn't play well, but nobody in front of him did. And as we know, watching football all these years, every quarterback – I've seen Tom Brady look very pedestrian when his offensive line doesn't play well, you know. So it's hard to put it on the quarterback. They've got to play better, there's no question. But last week I think they played a really good, angry team, and I think it just snowballed.
Is there any chance that we see Julian Lewis? And again, we're both kind of on the same page. It's not all on Caden Salter, but that's a question that's coming up. Is there a chance we see him this weekend? Is there a chance that we see him again at some point before the season ends?
Given the fact that Coach Prime is the coach, I think there's always a chance for everything that we mentioned.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I never know what he's going to do. I will say every time we've asked about Julian Lewis, and it's been a couple weeks now, he basically gives the indication of like, you know what, he's not ready. You know, and what we know about Coach Prime is he's big on preparation. He's old school in that regard. He's not going to put guys out there if they haven't done what they're supposed to be doing. We saw it last week. I mean, he benched his top two receivers in that game, which also did not help Caden Salter, right? Omarion Miller and yeah. Joseph Williams were benched in the first half, Joseph Williams for the entire game. So he's not going to put Julian out there if Julian's not doing what he's supposed to. All things being equal, I still think you got to ride with Caden Salter at this point. But certainly I think that if things are going south tomorrow, I say, yeah, you could see Julian Lewis in there.
Well, talk to me about, you know, Arizona and kind of what I think at the beginning of the season, Arizona was picked to be in the bottom, kind of finish at the bottom of the barrel, and they're kind of like that right now, but they got a really entertaining quarterback, had a close game against Houston and BYU last time around. Kind of similar to CU, I guess, where, you know, because they got blown out by Iowa State, but they also kept it close with other teams like BYU. Talk to me about the expectations and what you're thinking in this game coming up this weekend against Arizona.
Yeah, I think you sort of mentioned, but I mean, they're sort of similar profiling teams, right? I mean, they both have a blowout loss on the road in conference. They both, both of them had a 14-point lead at home against BYU and lost the game. You know, they've got some, you know, close games otherwise, and I think both of them are sort of in a similar boat in that they need this game to turn their season around a little bit. I think that Arizona looks at this as like, all right, Colorado, we can beat them. Let's go. And Colorado looks at it as like, all right, Arizona, yeah, we can beat them. Let's go. So I think it's they're two bottom half of the Big 12 teams that need a win. You know, and I think that there's nothing scary about Arizona, and I don't think there's anything scary about CU. And so I think just whoever comes out and plays the cleaner game and avoids the mistakes and is mentally right, I think wins this game. And that's maybe simplifying it, but I think mental is so huge for Colorado in this one. And I give them the edge because they're at home.
What do you what do you expect from Noah Fifita? Like, that's what I'm saying. That guy's entertaining. He will throw interceptions. He will run around, try to create plays, all this stuff. He's fun to watch. But how can the Buffs hope to slow him down?
Yeah, they got to get to him, and it's going to be tough. I mean, they're so banged up up front. I tweeted this out the other day, but based on the injury report, they've got 9 defensive tackles on their roster, and they might only have 4 of them available tomorrow. And you've got a couple defensive ends that are out. They've got good guys that are still healthy, but they've got to find a way to get to Fifita and put some pressure on him. And the best corners have to step up. They have not played great most of the year. They're going to have to step up and play better. But they can certainly hold Arizona down. This is not an offensive juggernaut. I mean, the only Power 4 team Arizona scored more than 28 points against is Oklahoma State, which is probably the worst Power 4 team there is this year. So this is not an offensive juggernaut. This is a game that the Buffs can maybe get right offensively and defensively and win a game.
Buffs are, last I checked, 3.5-point dogs in this one, Brian. But you, sounds like you might kind of like them at home this weekend.
Yeah, they're going to win. I would almost guarantee it. Not that I think they're going to blow them out, but I think the Buffs are so desperate and there's so much in front of them that I think they're going to win. I think that this is a huge one for Colorado. And frankly, Brady, they've got a chance here, if their minds are right, to go on a 3-game winning streak here and secure bowl eligibility. But they have to get it done tomorrow, obviously.
Yeah. I'm going back and forth with, but you're helping me on this. This is what it's all about, Brian, just building up for the picks at the end of the show. I could see it going either way. You know, I still believe in this Buffs team, but that Utah game really has me rattled. But I'm gonna take your approach. What happened last week? I forgot about it. Let's just move on.
Yeah. Well, and look, Arizona, they're better, but they're also 1-10 in their last, or I think it's 2-10 in the last 12 conference games. They're 1-6 on the road under Brent Brennan. So again, this isn't even Iowa State coming in here. It's a fine team. They've got a little bit of talent, and they can certainly beat the Buffs. It wouldn't surprise me if they beat them. But this is definitely winnable for Colorado, and they should win it. I mean, if they have the right mindset and there's some pride in them after last week, they'll win this football game.
Yeah, that's the question, too, is you always wonder at the end of the season, and you can say all you want, hey, these guys are Division I ball players, they don't need motivation, they don't need that kind of stuff, but when you get down to the end and you had a bad game against Utah like that, where are the mentals for, the young guys on this roster?
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, we're not going to find out until tomorrow. I mean, they've said the right things this week. They've talked about having a nice response in practice on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And that doesn't mean a whole lot to the fans because they talked about practicing well last week too. So we just got to see how they come out and play on Saturday. It's a huge one. And I would say it's one of the biggest games of the Coach Prime era because of what November could do to this team positively or negatively. If you don't win this game, there could really be a tailspin here and finish 3-9. You win this game, you could go on a run and finish 6-6, 7-5.
Yeah, which, at the beginning of the season, that's kind of where you and I were talking about this team being. So for people that follow the program and kind of get everything they lost heading into this year, that would be considered a minor boost, a minor victory there, I suppose.
Yeah, and they should lean into that. I mean, there's still a very real chance to get to a bowl game, which would be 2 in a row, which Colorado hasn't done in 20 years. We talked about it before. I mean, Gary Barnett was the coach last time the Buffs went to back-to-back bowls. There's a real opportunity to do that here and build some momentum going into your future. But there's also that real possibility of fading and going 3-9, and you've got no momentum going into your future. So it's a very critical stretch, I think, for the Buffs.
No question. Yeah, well said, my friend. Brian, always appreciate it, man. We'll be looking out for pregame stuff from you, I'm sure, as we get set for Colorado and Arizona, 5 o'clock tomorrow on FS1. Always appreciate it, my man.
You bet. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian Howell, Buff Zone. He is our Buffs insider. He says this is a pretty big game, not just for the now, but for what that looks like preparing for next season. And wins help with recruits. They do. And when you lose big like that to Utah, that hurts with recruits. So a bounce back is needed for the Colorado Buffaloes. 48 after the hour. Michael, let's take a short break. It's the whole show on a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. We'll be right back.
College football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Into the whole show. Coming up next, we've got the quarterback toilet bowl. I believe I took my rightful spot back on back to the throne on this quarterback toilet bowl battle that we're in.
The throne is in the toilet throne.
Didn't think we needed to actually go ahead and clarify that, but
porcelain.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it, Mike. Yeah, I'm the king of that throne.
And you're just pretending to not, you're so good on Fridays, you're just pretending to not be very good.
For what? The quarterback toilet bowl?
Yeah.
I've led 90% of the season. I think I dropped once, so I'm not pretending anything, Mike. I am taking my credit for being the king of picking bad quarterback play.
So you're basically 2 out of 3 in picks, in picking sessions. Thursday
we won last night. I'm back up, man. I'm back up.
Yeah, you're close to 500.
What did Andrew Alirez said? Greeley, we back up. I'm saying no-co, picks, we back up, man. Thursday night special, cooking. Picks are 23 and 20. We're over 500 against the spread.
Those are on Friday.
Quarterback toilet bowl king right now. I mean, life is good for Mr. Thursday night slash the picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Slash, if I weren't me, I'd listen to me. That's a new one we're working on. Coming up next, we'll bring the fellas in. And we'll let them talk about how great I am at this and why they can't be much better. I'm just sad for them.
I think they're ashamed.
I don't even know if they'll show up. Derbs will show up.
He's so positive.
He's a positive guy, you know, and he's a good dude.
He is.
Tanner and Mike, they're coming.
We give them credit.
Yeah, sure. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.